Welcome to the Burden and Blessing Podcast, a study and discussion forum on the truth of God's Word. Our CPR series looks at certain topics that come up in life, and we attempt to discuss them in a way that relates to everyone. At times, we bring in the arguments of those opposed to the Word of God in order to practice contending for the faith that God gave His church. It is our prayer that you will be equipped to give a defense for the truths of the Christian faith with humility and respect. Welcome back to the Burden and Blessing Podcast. I'm Pastor Mark Tiefel. We're continuing today in our debate series where we take a look at a particular topic and get the opposing views of two sides on that topic. A reminder to our listeners that in our debate series, we certainly will have one of our contributors argue for the, I suppose we could call it the anti-Christian position or the anti-biblical position. It certainly doesn't mean that we want to promote that here at Burden and Blessing. What we're trying to do through this debate podcast is simulate a discussion or a debate that a Christian might have with a skeptic or an unbeliever on certain topics that come up pretty regularly. And so we're going to continue in our series with various topics, and we hope you can tune in for those. Today, joining me are Pastor Neil Radical and Pastor Nathaniel Mayhew, who are going to do the debating today. And our topic is about truth. Now, the two positions that we're going to take on truth is Nathaniel is going to argue for relative truth, which means that truth is determined by each individual. Neil is going to argue for absolute truth, which means that truth is fixed and is the same for every individual, does not change. Certainly, the Bible indicates to us that God determines absolute truth, and that's the position that we come from as Christians. Let's hone our skills, though, today as we jump into this debate and see how we can argue for that as Christians as we encounter some of the arguments against our faith. Neil and Nathaniel, good to join you today for this debate. Starting off round one with the opening argument is going to be Neil, who's arguing for absolute truth. Go ahead, Neil.
Yeah, Nathaniel, I like this opportunity to be able to talk to you about a very important topic to me, and that is that I do support that there is such a thing as absolute truth. So that's important to me as a Christian because I believe in the authority of the Bible, that the truths that are expressed in the Bible are absolute. I believe that God used man to record His word. I see that from 2 Peter 1:21. I believe in the inspiration of God's holy word, that the Bible is God-breathed, and therefore it's verbally inspired. 2 Timothy 3:16 talks about that. I believe in the inerrancy of the Bible, that it's without error. Jesus talks about that in John 17:17, that His word is truth, and that the Bible is infallible, which means the Bible is incapable of error, never being wrong. It's absolutely trustworthy. In other words, it's absolutely truthful. And so, yeah, as a Christian, I firmly believe that there is such a thing as an absolute truth, and I believe that that is a comfort to us and a blessing for us as we see the authority and the absolute truthfulness of God's word. What do you think?
Well, I'm glad that all of that is a comfort to you, Neil. But just because it's a comfort to you doesn't mean that it's actually real. So you believe that there is an absolute truth, not because that's right. You believe it because that's what you have learned. That is what you have grown up being accustomed to. And there are all kinds of examples of this within our world today. In fact, if you take a look at the cultures of the world, not just that exist today, but throughout the history of the world, there are very deep and widespread moral differences in cultures. And in fact, the disagreements between those cultures are more significant than the agreements between those cultures. So truth, that as you see it as being absolute, that's because that's what you've been taught. When in reality, truth is different in these different cultures, in these different traditions, in these different convictions or practices of a group. So let me just give you one example of that. If you take a look at Christians, Muslims, and Hindus, you have very distinct differences in those cultures and the moral beliefs of those groups. Muslims say you have to wear certain types of clothes, you have to eat certain types of foods or abstain from others. Within Christian law, you have similar laws, but they're different. those differ even in the Old Testament and the New Testament as far as food laws and purity laws. Hindu laws, you have to feed rats because they're considered divine, and you can't eat cows because they could be your ancestors. Those are some very different, distinct moral foundations, and who are you to say that those other views of other societies are wrong and that yours are right? These things are morally relative because of the different cultures that have existed not just today but throughout the history of our world.
Okay, so we've got both of the opening arguments from Neil and Nathaniel. Let's move on to round two, where we kind of respond to some of the points that were made on each side. Neil, you're starting us off on round two. Go ahead with your response to Nathaniel's opening argument.
Nathaniel, the two main points I hear you're saying there, I think are both clever in the sense that the second one, you're talking about the cultural differences in truth. That's exactly what we expect to see when we are looking at different religions that follow different gods who have come up with those different religions and their own morality, what it really comes down to, what I believe is true. So those different cultures are based off what those groups have believed or taught that God has said. This goes back to, I think, the more important point about you made the point that I believe Christianity because it's what I've learned. So there's a point about absolute truth that is crucial for us to make here. Can something that I believe is an absolute truth exist before I learned it? So for example, we can talk about universal truths or absolutes. There's differences between truth as a fact and truth as an opinion. You're pointing to my truth as an opinion. I'm going to use the example of gravity, for example. Your opinion, your truth might be that gravity isn't real. I'm going to pull in your cultural idea. Maybe you grew up in a culture that said, we don't believe in gravity. Okay, that's your opinion. But there's a universal truth about gravity that is absolute. Maybe you would come back with the argument and say, well, there's no gravity in space. That's what I learned when I grew up. The whole point is that there is absolutely gravity in space. If you look at the scientific Newton's law of gravitational forces, there is gravity in space. It's just an absence of gravity compared to what we experience on Earth. And so these universal truths are absolute, just like they would be in other absolute truths. And that helps us understand why we can learn about gravity as we grow up, but it's already true before that. So that's one example. Just like other cultures can learn about what their morality is, but that doesn't necessarily change what the absolute moral morality of the true God is.
Okay, Nathaniel, over to you. Your part on round two, responding to Neil.
It's interesting that you bring up gravity as your example of relative and absolute truth. Let me give you a more specific example that I think is a little bit problematic for Christians. Earlier, I mentioned Muslim law versus Christian law versus Hindu law and all of these different variations that you have. And you talked about how those gods or beliefs in certain gods establish those moral foundations. Let's look at an example within Christianity itself. What about the example of polygamy? Now, in our world today, at least going back in our recent history, we have viewed as a society polygamy to be wrong. But there are many other societies throughout the history of the world that have viewed polygamy as being acceptable. And what's even more problematic for you as a Christian is that even within examples of your Christian heroes of faith, you have examples of those who lived a polygamous lifestyle. You have Abraham, Jacob, David, Solomon. You even have Christian churches like the Mormons who promote and have actively made use of polygamy. So how can there be an absolute moral standard when even within the sphere of the Christian church, the Old and the New Testament, there are variations on that particular idea? I think that's a problematic thing for you to answer as a Christian as an example of moral versus absolute truth.
Okay, we've concluded here rounds one and two of our debate. As a recap, we're debating the topic of truth. Neil is on the side of absolute truth. Nathaniel's on the side of relative truth. In round one, Neil opened up by appealing to the Bible. He cited 2 Timothy 3, John 17, talking about the authority, the inerrancy, and the infallibility of the Bible, that the Bible is truth. Nathaniel countered by talking about that that was part of the way that Neil was raised in his culture to view truth, and each culture is different in truth in that sense and leads to different stances on morality. Round two began by Neil bringing up the example of gravity, where a truth exists before you learn it, and it doesn't matter what your individual stance on that truth is, it still exists as absolute. And Nathaniel countered with the example of polygamy within Christianity, that even in that very topic, you have differences even among Christians and certainly among other religions of that one moral truth. So that's kind of where we're at here in the debate, moving back and forth, arguing these points. Now we're going to enter round three, which is the round where we give our concluding arguments. Beginning round three, we're going to have Nathaniel go first, his concluding argument for relative truth. Go ahead, Nathaniel.
So the point that I've been trying to make here in our discussion is that truth, it cannot be objectively true for everyone, because as we look at different cultures, we see very, very deep and widespread differences within the cultures. And if you change those cultures, or you brought in certain moral objectives from other cultures, it would completely change the culture as it is, whether that be the religious beliefs or even just the moral fabric of that particular society. Those moral standards that separate them from other societies are what make them what they are. So truth, as we take a look at what we see in the world, truth is relative to those traditions, convictions, and practices of a particular society. The point that I made to Neil early on is that he believes that there is an absolute truth because that's the way that he's been raised. That's the part of the culture that he lives in. That's the way he has learned it, but other cultures don't see it as that way. And so we have to be understanding that there is different ways of viewing these things as different cultures, and being respectful of those different traditions, customs, and moral foundations for those various cultures.
Okay, Neil, over to you for your concluding argument for absolute truth.
Yeah, thank you, Nathaniel. I think when you talk about the truth of those cultures and the convictions and the practices of what they follow, you are pointing to the fact that they are following their opinion, and that I don't disagree, we should be respectful of what other religions, what people believe. I don't think we should go on conquest and so forth. But you're speaking to the objectivity of truthfulness based on those cultures and on those opinions of the individuals, and you're saying it's seen in the results of that. Now, I want to respond to your real quickly that polygamy comment on the morality of God, and I just want to make a quick comment to that. Just because, like with Abraham and some of the Old Testament characters of the Bible, Isaac, Jacob, who had multiple wives, just because the Bible did not there's an absence of direct instruction to them not to do that, doesn't negate that the Bible and God did not, that he was condoning it as well. God does not contradict himself in that regard. You don't see God pointing out every other sin that they or anybody else did, but throughout the whole Word of God, we see what he institutes and what he describes as sin and not sinful. So that lack of him directly addressing that particular sin isn't an absence of that truth. Ultimately, when we're talking about truthfulness and the absolute authority of it, it's credible versus non-credible sources, witnesses. You know, if truth is not absolute, there would be no such thing as a credible source or witness, Nathaniel, whether that being a courtroom or anything else. There's no think of that. If there's no absolute truth, there's really no absolute science. Think how that works out with science and how the universe got here, or even laws of science. If there's no absolute truth in history, then your grandchildren cannot believe any of your stories or events from your life, because it's going to be their opinion of what is truthful or not. If there's no absolute math, then 1 + 1, according to relativity, might not be 2. It might be something else. That's true if there's no absolutes. No absolute morality is what you've been pointing to. It's true for right or wrong on a variety of opinions, but on the fact that there is one morality that's established by the true God, he gets to define what is right or wrong, not our subjective opinion. And who gets to define truth overall is the Word of God. And again, I'll go back to what I first said. It's the authority of the Bible. It's the inspiration, inerrancy, and it's a credible source. It's infallible because it doesn't contradict itself. And that's why I believe in the absolute truths of nature and the absolute truths of the Word of God, which has never contradicted itself.
Okay. Well done, Neil and Nathaniel. We have reached the end of our formal debate here. We had two rounds and then a third round of concluding arguments. Some good discussion here. A lot of different topics that came up. Now we're going to pause the actual debate part. We're going to go back and now discuss this as three pastors and kind of try to refine some of the points that we took out of it, some of the things that we learned from it, some of the good arguments that were used so that our listeners can go ahead and make use of those in their lives. Let's get started just kind of dissecting the debate on the first hand. Nathaniel, you had the difficult position of arguing against the Christian position of biblical truth and absolute truth. Give us your assessment on some of the points that Neil brought up, some of the things you thought were good arguments to what you were bringing up.
It is really difficult to play the role of this, undermining the things that we view as being true. So that's a hard thing. Neil, you did a nice job. I think one of the arguments that I've heard a lot is that whole idea of the polygamy, and you did a nice job of answering that and showing the descriptive versus prescriptive views of Scripture, that just because the Scriptures describe something doesn't mean that God says this is the way you should do it. And I think that's an important point to make. He did that and brought that out really well. Also, at the end there, you brought out the whole idea of the credible sources and sort of the what are the ramifications if you believe that there is no such thing as absolute truth. This is what you end up with, and you end up going down a rabbit hole that it's a futile place to go. One thing that I have used that I think is a really strong thing for a person who's at least philosophically minded when they're debating the side of relative truth is if I come up to you, Neil, and I say, Neil, there is no such thing as truth, that is a truth claim. I am making a claim that is absolute, that says there is no such thing as truth, which is the exact opposite of what I'm trying to say. So I think that's from a philosophical standpoint, that's a pretty strong argument also to just say, hold on a second, you just made a truth claim and you said you can't make truth claims. So that might be something that a person could utilize, at least in some situations with a debate or if you're having a discussion with somebody, to make them understand that even this idea of there being no truth is a truth claim ultimately. So just a couple of thoughts that I had. Nice job, Neil.
Theo, why don't you give us your assessment on your thoughts on how the debate went?
Yeah, I thought Nathaniel did a really good job. You know, I think one could say, okay, Nathaniel's throwing, the cultural thing at me, the opinions on morality, the polygamy example, and I think that comes up a lot with our discussions and conversations with people. You start to get these very specific examples. You ask those questions, why or how can there be absolute truth if this is going on? We see this around us. And I ultimately think that can lead you off the subject. I obviously use the example of gravity you take away the absolutes and some of these other subjects, the academics we have in this world. But when we're hearing that or when we're doing that, I think the struggle that I can find myself in that I might have had a little bit today too is losing sight of what the main goal is. And I think Nathaniel's little recap of there's no such thing as absolute truth. They're making an absolute statement there, and you ultimately want to bring them back to the absolute authority over all things. And that's why I was trying to make the point at the end of the science versus scripture. And really, I would have liked to have done a better job wrapping up with that. Yeah, we mess up authority. We mess up truth. And we need a savior to redeem us from that. And I would have liked to end the discussion. If the conversation would have ended like that, I wouldn't have been really pleased with myself if that was a real life situation.
One thing I noticed about the debate is that our topic is truth, but it really kind of shifted into morality. In round one, Nathaniel's counter argument right away to what Neil had opened up with was that each culture has deep and widespread differences in morality, is what he said, and not in truth. And I think that's why this is really an important topic, is because the reason we care about truth is not just because it's an academic exercise or an intellectual exercise. It's because it ultimately determines morality, and morality being what we consider to be right or wrong. And so Nathaniel brought up a lot of examples with different religions and different cultures where morality is different because that culture's view of truth is different sometimes. Sometimes you have two cultures who do believe in absolute truth who still differ in morality. But I think it was important to highlight that just because this is what we see in the world does not mean that this is the way it's supposed to be or the way that it's best for our lives. And so I think it's interesting to me that a lot of our discussion centered on morality, which really isn't by definition a debate on truth. We weren't debating morality today. We were debating truth. But that's ultimately where we get to as humans when we talk about this topic. And that's why it's so important. And I think we exposed the danger of the relative truth model as it pertains to morality. One argument I've heard for that, for somebody who believes in relative truth as it pertains to morality, is, do you lock your door at night? You know, if you lock your door at night or you lock your car door when you go to the store, why is that? If truth really is all relative and it really doesn't make a difference on a person's morality, then why do we do things like that? It's because we inherently know that we don't live in a perfect world. We don't, not everybody is going to treat us well. Not everybody abides by the same truths. That doesn't deny the fact that there is an absolute truth. And that kind of goes back to Neil's illustration with gravity, where just because you don't know that the truth exists yet doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. And I think that's a very, very important point to bring out. But I thought, well done on both sides. It's a tough topic to debate because there's a lot of different areas you can go to. As sort of a recap for the both of you, I let either one of you jump in here. Is there anything that you would have brought in, looking back on the topic now as we kind of recap it? Is there anything you wish you would have brought in on either side?
I think I would have liked to get into more of the absolute authority of God's word, because we kept circling around that. And with some of my examples, I was trying to bring the conversation back to, let's discuss this absolute nature or not. And that was where the topic had kind of started, right? There's such a thing as absolute truth. But I ultimately want to bring it back to the word of God. And I felt like I could have done a lot better job of that. And the absolute truth about what Scripture says about the Messiah, the Christ, why he's different than all the other cultures and religions of the world that reject him as Savior. I think that would have been an area that I would have liked to been in the conversation more, if possible.
With morality, too, when you start going down that road of the point that you made, Mark, when you deal with truth, you're dealing with morality. That's one of the greatest examples of truth. I like the illustration that you had about locking your door, and I've used that, too. You know, I think it's okay for me to take something from somebody else, and that's relative. I can have that, and that's okay until somebody takes something from me. Then I want it to be morally absolute. And that's the point that we want to make. But that does lead into the point that Neil was making, that if we can establish the fact that God has established moral truths that apply to all people because he loves them and cares about them, and he designed those things to protect them, that gives us the opportunity to bring it back to God and to say, God has given those things, but he's actually given us something even greater than that, something that's even more absolutely true, and that is that he loves us and he has given his son into death for us. So I think there is a way to take us from that concept of moral truth to lead into the Savior that we all need, because we are not morally pure, and God reveals that very clearly. So I think that's one way that we can get to that point that Neil was talking about.
Because this is one of those topics that it can be easy just to debate it, just to have an argument without actually getting to anything productive for the person's soul.
Right.
And so, yes, very important to remember, as we think about this sequence, truth to morality, let's also add on to the end of that, to the gospel too, because that's ultimately where we want to go. Morality for the Christian, again, just like truth, is not just an intellectual discussion going back and forth. It's ultimately meant to bring out what Christ has done, and we want to certainly get to that point as Christians. And thankfully, we do have a God who created us to be beings that seek the truth, who created the world around us to convey and relay that truth to us. And so we have plenty of opportunities there to get into the objective gospel message in this kind of debate as well. Well, we thank our listeners for tuning in again to our debate series, and we ask that you would like and subscribe our posts on social media as you see them. Subscribe to our podcast if you haven't yet, and you'll get all of our latest podcasts. We certainly do a lot more other types of podcasts and series as well that can benefit your faith and that can help you grow in your relationship with Christ, as we pray that this debate has helped you do today. Also, stay tuned for our next debate topic coming up soon, next week, where we'll take another topic and take a look at it from the Christian perspective and also from the skeptic perspective. Thank you, Neil and Nathaniel, for participating today and giving us that debate. And we'll see you next time at the Burden and Blessing Podcast. We hope that you will join us next week for another episode of Burden and Blessing Podcast. Our goal is always to bring you the whole counsel of God. Until next time, go in the strength of the Lord and preach the word.